Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, everybody, as we enter day 87 of the Iran war that was only supposed to take 4 to 6 weeks, Donald Trump is increasingly spiraling, lying about the state of the war, and downplaying how much of a failure this really was. Only a few days before Memorial Day, Donald Trump said, "We've lost 13 people, and people don't like when I say we've lost 13 people, but we only lost 13 people." Like, he's trying to downplay the amount of soldiers that have died in this war of choice that was not necessary, that is failing, and that has not even got us closer to any of the objectives, as I'll lay out in just one moment. We'll talk about the actual objectives in a minute, but I do want to talk about the attempt on the right to control the narrative on this, because it is brazen, not slick, and just disturbing how easily these people lie. Let's start off with this tweet from my Mockler HQ Twitter account that is run by my team. It says, "It has been 38 days since Scott Jennings declared the Strait of Hormuz open. For someone who claims to hate socialism, he sure loves being publicly owned." And we dug up this tweet, Scott Jennings, on April 17th. He posted, "The Hormuz crisis ends. Diplomacy, ceasefires, and a turning point?" Yeah, the turning point was that we were about to start another chapter of this war where the U.S. gets farther and farther from our actual objectives. Donald Trump sent out this long, deranged Truth Social post talking about the Democrats, rhinos, and fools. I mean, he is spiraling. He doesn't have any reality tests around him. He doesn't have people to tell him the truth. He's surrounded by the Pete Hegseths, the J.D. Vances, the Stephen Millers, the Scott Jennings of the world, who will sit there and endlessly lie on his behalf. But this is the key right here. This may be the most important part of the video, because I'm going to actually break down what the framework of this deal is and how much it differs from the original objectives of this war. So as always, make sure you drop a like if you appreciate the truth that we bring to this space. You can subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed below. Every single day, it's an uphill battle against these MAGA liars in power who are abusing their power to lie even more. And we've got Elon Musk, who owns Twitter, and who definitely prioritizes right-wing content on Twitter. So our views are in an uphill battle in this algorithm. That's why we need every single one of you, especially on Twitter. If you guys are on Twitter, go follow me over there, at Adam Mockler. It's a battle, and we are fighting the battle. To continue, Joyce talks about the Memorandum of Understanding, which is the framework for the negotiations that will start. Here's the expected MOU. A 60-day ceasefire. Ships can go through the Strait of Hormuz with no tolling. The U.S. will lift our naval blockade on the Strait of Hormuz. An end to the current war. Iran will sell oil and get some sanctions relief. And then the negotiations on the nuclear program will begin. It's unclear what happens to Lebanon, who controls the Hormuz, even if it's open, and if Israel is bounded by this ceasefire. Joyce then points out, if you're the Iranian regime and the above goes through, it is a very good bargain. Remember, the objectives declared by Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump and Netanyahu at the beginning were this: denuclearization of Iran. We haven't gotten there. We're actually like farther from that. Regime change in Iran. We haven't gotten there. We're farther from that. Destroy their ballistic missiles. We destroyed some, but they still have so many that the region is on a tightrope. The region could inflame into chaos once again because Iran still has their missiles. Zero enrichment. Well, they haven't been enriching in the first place, but now they have the ability to if they want to. Remove all highly enriched uranium. We're not even close to that at all. What actually happened in the negotiation is, what do you even title it? Like, there's a term called mission creep, for example, where you start a mission, you start a war, and then the size and the scope and the scale of the war expands and expands and expands over time, like with Afghanistan, and then the mission creep turns a 4-week war into a 20-year war. But what's happening here is a little bit different than mission creep. It's called like mission inversion or mission fuck up or just mission failure. How is our new mission to reopen the Strait of Hormuz when the Strait of Hormuz was already open 3 months ago, like 2.5 months ago. It is so incredibly mind-boggling that we messed up the first objective so bad, like denuclearization, regime change, ballistic missile destroying. And now our new goal, our new objective, is to simply fix the F-ups of the first one, make it make sense. And here's Scott Jennings on April 17th saying, "The Hormuz crisis ends. Diplomacy, ceasefires, and a turning point." I just find it comical how much these people lie. Yesterday, Scott Jennings sent out a post, and he said, "After receiving a briefing from a senior Trump admin official on the status of the Iran negotiations, someone in the know, and not just speculating, I can tell you the following." He then writes this long-ass thread that I'm not even going to read because it's just propaganda coming from senior Trump administration officials. Look at, he even capitalizes the word Trump, like he just wants to help build the brand. He's such a kiss-ass. But I said, hey, look, the same people who were lying to you on week one of this war are still lying to you on week 12 of this war. How can there be any credibility in a single word that this man says when he's been saying the Strait of Hormuz is open for like weeks? You know, I sent my mom an old Scott Jennings tweet and I said, look how much of a liar this guy is. And my mom's response was funny. She said, yikes. It's like he thinks if he says it enough, it will just come true. And it's so true. Like, he thinks that if he just repeats the lie over and over and over, it'll manifest into reality. It's really coming from the Trump playbook. After Scott Jennings posted his thread, we then began to realize a little bit of a pattern here. Then Andrew Colvette of Turning Point USA, who I've also debated, posted a similar thing. Justin was on a background media group call regarding the Iran peace deal. So they're all basically copying the same script. Then we got more. Clay Travis, senior administration official, saying the Iran deal is 95% done. Then we got more and more. It was like dozens of MAGA celebrities or pundits or whatever came out in unison to push this lie. And that pissed me off this morning. Genuinely, I was having my coffee, doing my research for the morning, and I was starting to feel a lot of genuine disdain for the people in our country who are knowingly pushing lies in a uniform manner. I mean, of course, I'm always angry about it. I'm always pissed off about it. But a lot of the times, I just do my work and I try to separate the emotions or the disdain for these people. And I just do my work. I debate. We push back. We do it with a steady hand. Getting emotional is not really how I'm at my best, right? But this morning, I was feeling some genuine disdain and anger towards these people who are mortgaging my generation's future, getting us into an insane amount of debt, getting people my age killed over in the Middle East. During the opening salvo of this war around February 28th, a 20-year-old named Declan Cody was killed at a base in the Middle East because U.S. intelligence wasn't fast enough to protect him and because our leaders are putting them in danger. Trump, when asked about this, when talking about this, just a few days before Memorial Day, said this.
"You lost hundreds of thousands of soldiers in these various wars. In two wars, Venezuela, where we lost nobody, and here, we lost 13 people. Now, 13 people is 13 too much, but we lost 13 people. In other wars, you lost hundreds of thousands of people. So people don't like it when you say, oh, do you know you've lost 13? We've lost in two major wars. We took over Venezuela. We essentially took over Iran. And we've lost so far 13 people."
Oh, my God. The delusion here. So today is Memorial Day. I'm recording this on Monday, May 25th. Happy Memorial Day, and thank you for the service of everybody who's watching and who served. This was said 5 days before Memorial Day, this clip of Trump. So 5 days before Memorial Day, he's downplaying the deaths of 13 families. He has repeatedly disrespected our military. And, like, I think the loss of any military life is tragic. I would never downplay any of it. But if I recall correctly, Hillary Clinton had her campaign entirely just covered in Benghazi coverage. Everyone's talking about Benghazi. Hillary Clinton is responsible for all of this. And Benghazi resulted in 4 tragic deaths. I would never downplay how many deaths 4 is. It's awful. It is terrible. I feel for the families, and I wish it never happened. But for then Donald Trump to downplay 13 military deaths due to his war of choice, it's actually despicable. It's actually like scum behavior. This entire administration has been caught on their back foot lying. And it's pissing me off. It's actually making me mad. We have Fox News pundits going on TV lying about the war. We have MAGA pundits and commentators lying online, like the Dave Rubens of the world that I talked about yesterday in the video. We have Trump administration officials, everybody from Trump himself to people like Pete Hegseth and Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance going on TV and lying about this war. And we need to be pushing back in a very, very firm and convincing manner, because the vast majority of Americans, if they knew the truth about this war, they would not accept it. They already don't. Most Americans don't accept this war, but we need to keep hammering home the facts, because it is such a perfect microcosm of the way this administration operates. Poorly thought out, rash plans that backfire, and then as they're backfiring, Trump tries to find an off-ramp and act like nothing bad happened. Same thing happened with tariffs. The same thing happened with multiple other blow-ups that Donald Trump had to back off from. This is just the most, you know, the most painful version of it thus far
as well.
All right, let's finish with this. When gas was $5 a gallon and the 9% inflation under Joe Biden was being called transitory, Democrats weren't saying anything. Actually, they were telling people that they weren't, you know, wrong about what they were feeling and what they were experiencing, that inflation wasn't real. However, right now they're pushing this narrative that under the big, beautiful bill, if you got a refund, what you paid in extra gas now has eaten into that. And people are digging into their savings and really, really struggling right now.
Wait, what do you mean we're trying to paint that narrative? That is actually what's happening. People are digging into their savings. Debt of all forms is currently at an all-time high. Student debt, credit card debt, overall debt is at an all-time high. The national debt is at an all-time high right now.
Actually, the American consumer has been pretty resilient throughout this. Would you agree?
Right. And in fact, there's, you had mentioned consumer sentiment early on. You know, one of the interesting things is that the Michigan survey, which estimates consumer sentiment, has like a whole bunch of Democrats in the survey, but they actually give you the party identification. And so while Joe Biden was giving us this terrible stagflation with runaway inflation, then the Democrats in the consumer sentiment survey were saying that things were fantastic. The numbers were way above 100. Right now, you know, basically go to December when we had a great year with very reduced inflation. They said that the economy was totally in the pits.
Right.
The Democrats, it was only and their consumer.
Oh my God, the mental gymnastics here. Do you guys hear the type of tricks he's trying to pull? So Hassett, our National Economic Council director, is claiming that low consumer sentiment is driven by Democrats who have Trump derangement syndrome. The Democrats are deranged about Trump. First of all, nobody in 2022 and 2023 was claiming the economy was perfect. Not even Biden admin officials were claiming the economy was perfect. In a post-COVID era, supply chain disruptions hurt many, many Americans. The Biden administration did say that there were extrinsic factors that were leading to this beyond just domestic policy, and they were right about that. But even if I were to concede that the Biden admin should have been more candid about the state of the economy, they never once said it was perfect. Democrats never thought it was perfect. He then tries to compare that to December of 2025. Huh. Why are we looking at December of 2025 and not like May or April of 2026? Maybe because consumer sentiment is at the lowest point it's been, I'm pretty sure since 2008. Farm bankruptcies are at the highest point they've been since the Great Recession, 46% increase over the past year. Overall business bankruptcies are at the highest point in 15 years. The amount of people using buy now, pay later is at the highest point since 2008. The amount of people using buy now, pay later just for their food and their groceries, and it's at the highest point in like 20 years. Just think about that. I've quite literally had emails and heard stories of people deciding whether they want to eat breakfast or be able to drive their kid to school and then drive to work. And every single time they forego breakfast so they have the money for gas. These decisions are happening at a micro level all across the country, and even worse than what I just described. It's painful, and Kevin Hassett is out there claiming it's driven by Democrats who have Trump derangement syndrome. Well, let's look at who's actually deranged. Let's look at what Trump has been saying throughout this morning and throughout last night. We have a few different very long posts. I'm not going to read this entire long one here, but let's start off with the more deranged one. He said, "I laugh at all of the Democrats, rhinos, and fools who know nothing about the potential deal I'm making with Iran, things that haven't even been negotiated yet. Weak and ineffective people like failed Senator Tom Tillis, Bill Cassidy, who just suffered a major primary loss, really bad Congressman Thomas Massey, a major sleazebag who lost in a landslide after showing tremendous disloyalty to his party." I just want to reiterate, Thomas Massey voted to release the Epstein files, to stop the debt from ballooning and to not go to war with Iran. That's all he voted for, and he aligns with the American people on those issues. He says, these people should go home and rest. They do nothing but create division and loss. In other words, they are losers. The deal with Iran will either be a great and meaningful one, or there will be no deal. Dude, we don't have the cards right now to have any sort of great deal with Iran. Iran is currently trying to run out the clock until gas prices are $5 to $10 in the United States, and they are currently holding a metaphorical gas nozzle to the head of every single citizen on the earth who is reliant on gas prices being low. We are not in a strong position, even if Donald Trump keeps trying to claim that we are. I mean, you know we're not in a strong position when he's sending out these long-ass Truth Social posts trying to say how this is going to be better than the JCPOA. This is like the dozenth time Trump has declared us on the verge of a deal. He said a month and a half ago the Iranians were begging for a deal and were about to accept anything. That Trump this morning sent out a Memorial Day message that was just disrespectful. What a shitty leader. This guy is an awful leader. He said, happy Memorial Day to all, including the Democrats who disrespect our military and all of the tremendous success it has had over the last year. Dude, nobody's disrespecting the military, but I will disrespect the leaders at the highest echelons of our government who are putting our military service members in danger. I'll say it. Yeah, of course. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate our breakdowns of this war, if you appreciate our breakdowns and our updates, make sure you drop a blue heart, subscribe, go watch some more Adam Mockler videos, and peace out. Love you all.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.